Today is Trinity Sunday. The announcements for this today. We will have blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. The Wednesday talk on the Catholic faith that was announced last week, that was supposed to be for this Wednesday, will not be this Wednesday. That is canceled because tomorrow, the next day is Corpus Christi. So, and we have to get ready for the feast. So we will not have the talk this Wednesday, but we will resume on the following Wednesday, which is June 21st. And just as a point on that, that is going to be on the chapters in the Catechism on the last of the sacraments, that is matrimony, and then there'll be a lesson on sacramentals. I mention that because of the fact that everyone is tied somehow to matrimony, and so if you're at all interested, that would be a time to come. I must say that we, as a priest, we teach the Catechism to all of the students, and also when we have converts, we're teaching the Catechism. So we're using the Catechism all the time. And when I do these talks, I am learning something all the time. You know why? Because everything about God is infinite. How can anyone contain it all? So I say it to encourage everyone to come, especially if it's a topic of interest to you, as is matrimony and sacramentals that we use all the time. So we say that just to encourage everyone. This Thursday is the Feast of Corpus Christi. There will be a high mass at 9 in the morning, followed by the procession and the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. The feasts for this week. Today is the Feast of St. Barnabas. He's not one of the 12 apostles, but he is still given the title of apostle because he was chosen. We can't tell a story. Just tell you this one thing. He is a cousin of St. Mark the Evangelist. So, depending on the type of a degree of cousin he was, St. Mark's mother, as you know, was the woman who let our Lord use the upper room. So this Barnabas is connected to all of that. And it's a great story about his blood relations and St. Paul. Tomorrow is the Feast of St. John of St. Facundo. Tuesday is the Feast of the great St. Anthony of Padua. Wednesday is the Feast of St. Basil the Great. Thursday is Corpus Christi. It's also St. Vitus and Companions. And Saturday is the Feast of St. Gregory Barbarigo, who was a great bishop. Can't say anything about everybody except this. We have to say this about St. Anthony of Padua, because the fact that I'm standing here is because of his help. Now, we heard about St. Rita for impossible cases. Anyone has an impossible case, that's your saint. We all know St. Anthony as the one for things that are lost. Well, we had to find the needle in the haystack. And so we asked St. Anthony for help, and he found that needle in the haystack. He found the bishop for us. And wouldn't you know, of course, that it was a Franciscan friar, just like St. Anthony. So we thank St. Anthony. So, thank you to everybody for the great help on the remodeling project, and we're going to give the extra money towards the rest of the project. There'll be blessing of articles after Mass. There's benediction today at 6. We will not have the talk this week, this Wednesday, but the following. Thursday is the Feast of Corpus Christi, and we talked about St. Anthony and the saints. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. O the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God, how incomprehensible are his judgments and how unsearchable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him that recompense shall be made? For from him and through him, and unto him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the gospel. The holy gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world." Thus far, the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, first, we have to ask the Blessed Virgin Mary. Thinking about the greatest secret about God and celebrating the feast today. And there's no one better than the Blessed Virgin Mary to help us to do that. The daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, the spouse of the Holy Ghost. So we invoke her right at the beginning to ask her help. And we think, because we are, as it says in the Magnificat, we are the fulfillment of the prophecy of Our Lady, that henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. I'm part of that generation. You are part of that generation. Some people are not. Some people refuse, despite the scripture prophecy, despite their protestation of adherence to scripture. They do not fulfill that. They do not join the current generation that praises the Blessed Virgin Mary. But we will. And we will remember what was said to her at the Annunciation. Because she said, these are the first words we ever heard, we have ever recorded of the Blessed Virgin Mary. "How shall this be, since I do not know man?" There is the perpetual virginity. Again, another dogma attacked. That is the first thing we have recorded about her. That is the essence of her being. She is completely consecrated to God. And so the angel then tells her how this will come about. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God. There were no questions after this statement by the Blessed Virgin Mary saying, "What is the Holy Spirit? What is this power of the Most High? Who is this Son of God?" There was no question like that. She already knew them. She knew the three persons. She knew the Trinity. This is a tremendous moment. So we ask the Blessed Mother's help. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. In case we did not invoke them with the sign of the cross already. We have to move quickly, unfortunately, on such a great feast. Well, first of all, there's no amount of time to do this. But we take as our guide the collect for this Mass, which says, "Thank you, God, for telling us about yourself. Three in one. Three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in one God. Thank you for that. And we believe it. And we base our lives on it so that we may be strengthened against all adversaries." Did you remember that collect? So we've heard the essence of the doctrine. And this is one of the essential things to get to heaven. If you deny this, knowing what you're doing, you cannot get to heaven. You must know, you must believe. You must believe that God exists. You must believe that He rewards the good and punishes the evil. You must believe that there are three persons in one God, and that the second person of the Blessed Trinity became man and died for our sins. Those are the four essential truths to get to heaven. That's how important this day is. We cannot read for you the Athanasian Creed. You know, there's the Apostles' Creed, which we say with the Rosary. There's the Nicene Creed that is said later here at the Mass. And then there's a third one called the Athanasian Creed. These are the three great symbols of the faith dating from the time of St. Athanasius, 4th century. We cannot read to you because it's longer than these other two creeds. But it is said today in the Divine Office. We'll just tell you beginning and end in one little note in the middle. Whoever will be saved, this is how it starts. Before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith, which faith except everyone do keep and hold undefiled, unless you hold this. Without doubt, he shall perish everlastingly. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity. And he goes on, this separates us from, you keep hearing this, the monotheistic religions. That's, first of all, to separate us from all the pagan polytheistic religions. Well, you hear we're part of the monotheistic religions. Okay, this line here separates us from them. They do not believe in three persons and one God. So whenever you hear that, think to yourself, I'm not like them. But this is one for the Orthodox Christians. So they have a problem with this. We will not go into it. I'm just saying it to you so you heard it. So if you ever meet somebody, you're aware of this. This is the Athanasian Creed, 4th century. St. Athanasius is one of the Eastern doctors of the church. Okay, he's one of theirs, if you want to say that. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. We're saying that to you in case you don't even know it. They say that the Holy Ghost comes only from the Father. But here we have it from an Eastern father of the church telling us the Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son. And he does include here also the fourth necessary truth. He says, furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe rightly the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he concludes with these words, and they that have done good shall go into life everlasting. Okay, so we have to do good works. And they that have done evil into everlasting life. This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully and firmly, he cannot be saved. So the first thing we want to do today is we want to make an act of faith in the Holy Trinity. The explanation, and there's so many things that can be said to explain, but just so we know it, there are three persons in one God, so we not going to go through the explanation of that, but that is the definitions of the words person and then nature. Three persons in one divine nature. We also understand that there are two processions in the Trinity. That is, that the Father, who is the unbegotten, thinks of himself. And that one, he doesn't need any words to think of himself. He can think of himself in one word. And that thought of the Father, that word, is a person. That is the second person, the Word. the Logos. That proceeding, that coming forth from the Father, is called the first procession, and it is called the begetting. So now we have the unbegotten Father, and we have his only begotten Son, the Word. Then the Father and the Son, after that moment, that's our feeble attempt to explain. There is no moment here. This is an eternal act. It has always been going on, and it will always be going on. So that was incorrect to say moment. There is no moment. Eternally, this begetting also causes a mutual love, and causes a bad word too, just to let you know. We're seeking to reach this in our feeble words, but I'm making sure you know that's not it. There's no cause here. And they have a mutual love of each other, expressed by this great sigh, this great breath of love between the Father and the Son. This is the second proceeding coming from the Father and the Son. And this breath of love, this kiss of love between the Father and the Son, is a person. It is a breath. It is a spirit. That's what the word means. It is a Holy Spirit. It is the third person of the Blessed Trinity. And we call that procession, the first is the begetting, this one is called the spiration, the breathing forth of the person of love. And we heard about the Holy Ghost last week. Every one of us, when we're baptized in the name of the Trinity, we take on the life in our soul. So that this eternal begetting and spirating is going on inside every one of us who is in the state of grace. Is that not stupendous? So when our Lord taught the apostles, and he teaches us, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, for the rest of the Pentecost season, we're going to be, through the Holy Mother of the Church, taught these things and reminded of these things so that we make this indwelling of the Holy Trinity a reality in our lives. So that we join with the Holy Trinity in life so we will be with them in eternity. This is everything. We'll just say this too, because there's so much more to say and we have to cut it short because we're just covering right now the first half of the collect, what God has revealed and what we believe. The second part of the collect we'll do in a second. But before we go to that, the liturgy is the Trinitarian life expressed all the time. Now, as we read the epistle here, the translation, just so you can hear that, because this is Saint Paul, he says, for from him and through him, and he says, and unto him. In the Latin it says, you'll notice it says, in him. So they say unto him. We prefer in right now because this is the formula. That's why it's in this epistle. This is the formula for the liturgy. And you can tell now as I tell you this, based on what I just told you, the Trinitarian life is, the processions, the begetting, the spiration. We say in the liturgy, as that epistle tells us, that's why it's here, that everything comes from him. Who is that? That's the Father. And it comes to us through him. Who is that? That's the Son. In him. Who is that? The Holy Ghost, the sanctifier. Now, the only thing that's not there is, because this completes the liturgical formula, from the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit, all of this is being done in the Holy Spirit, he will teach you, the Spirit will make you groan in prayer. St. Paul tells us another place. So, in him, the liturgy is prayer, the public prayer of the church. It's in him, it's all this prayer is offered up through our Lord, but in the Holy Ghost. And here's the part. Back to the Father. That completes this loop in the liturgical expression. And we think now, and just recently reading St. Alphonsus saying in his book, Great Means of Salvation, quoting himself in the Victories of the Martyrs, said that St. Mary Magdalene, and our expressions like the Gloria at the Mass is called the major doxology, the major praise of God. But we all say the minor doxology, the little praise of the Holy Trinity all the time. When we say, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and it shall be, world without end. Amen. That's called the minor doxology, big name for that. He said that St. Mary Magdalene, because you'll notice if you watch the priest, he bows whenever he does the Gloria Patri. He's bowing. And it says, St. Alphonsus says, St. Mary Magdalene, when she would bow for this prayer, she was offering her neck for martyrdom. And we think of that, especially in today's world. If we were dropped into the wrong place on this planet and we said the Gloria, we wouldn't be having martyrdom. So that's what we want to lead into here as far as the second part of the collect. The first part, we want to tell God we believe and we thank you for telling us a secret about it yourself. Because you know what? We're all very secretive. No matter how close we are to anyone, there are some things we don't tell anyone. But here God tells us his very deepest secret. But now it is to give us strength based on this, to be able to bow our head and make that act of faith, even if someone's going to hurt us for doing that. And we're taking off on something that Father said last week. He was talking about this picture, and personal interest of mine, so I looked at some other things. This is a picture of Washington crossing the Delaware. You heard about it. That all happened at a desperate moment, as Father said. He had soldiers just abandoning the cause and everything else. Don't go through the details. But he, because the pen is mightier than the sword, he knew that. And so days before that surprise attack on Christmas Day, he had his army assemble. And he had read to them a recent, I mean within weeks, pamphlet by Thomas Paine. You remember his famous Common Sense. This is another one called The American Crisis. And he had this read to them. And this is a section of what these people heard. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from the service of his country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods. And it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as, he's talking, does this not sound like something inspiring to a Catholic? He's just talking about freedom should not be highly rated. So now you can see why these soldiers got in those boats and went to victory. We have our own injunctions like this, which we will not take the time to read to you now, but St. Paul telling us, you have not suffered unto blood yet for the cause of Christ. We're thinking of June 16th this week. Does anyone remember that date? That was the day the bishop came and he confirmed many of you. And he told us in that sermon about villages in his diocese where monotheistic followers were burning down his Christian villagers' homes. I don't know if you remember that. 21 years ago. He was telling those confirmands that you are soldiers of Christ. You must go into the world and change it. You must go forth into nations teaching everything our Lord taught and baptizing them. We recently were in the dining room, and for approximately the fifth time, someone from the church over here, not Catholic Church, of course, came to our door. This time, she has come in the past with her grandson. Today she came with some other woman. I don't know them, but so known to us, the seminarians basically know her name, know everything. She is coming in to try and teach us their religion. Something like the fifth time she's come. We have the Wednesday night classes. And with shame, the other church over here has their Wednesday night thing. And so the one or two of our people who come to hear about the true faith get to ride home past a parking lot filled with dozens, hundreds of cars. We have this week the Feast of Corpus Christi. The standard thing that happens is that no one, obviously some people come, but this is the greatest gift of the Trinity. I will not leave you orphans. I give you myself in the Blessed Sacrament. And compared to the greatness of this, because why? If we obtain it too cheap, we esteem it too lightly. So God gives us himself, and we can't even come on the feast day. So I can tell you the predicted part of next week's sermon is the telling everybody we didn't have a great turnout for Corpus Christi, and let's make up for it for the Sacred Heart, the Feast of Reparation. How about we reverse that? How about we all come for the Corpus Christi? How about these pagan, these non-Catholics see the Catholics pouring out of this parking lot after Corpus Christi? And maybe this lady comes back and says, why did all these people come in the middle of the week? What were they coming for? What was this great gift? Father Mateo tells us that the essence of prayer is desire. I don't know if you remember that. The essence of prayer is desire. Don't lose it. As Father says so many times, don't treat the faith like it's something you just put in your back pocket. Don't lose desire. Because without it, we cannot be saved either. That's lukewarmness. St. Alphonsus and all the saints tell us that is a death knell. That is worse than a person who's in mortal sin, you know. Lukewarmness. Why? It's the frog sitting in the water, the temperature's getting hotter and hotter, and they don't realize until they're dead. See, a person, at least even in mortal sin, at least knows I'm in big trouble. And desire will move them through hope to the sacraments. But a person who's lukewarm doesn't have desire. They're just slowly being boiled. Don't be lukewarm. Because surprise, St. Gregory the Great said it. You know what's going to be the big surprise in heaven? Yes, the people that we see there that we didn't expect. But you know what he said? The people we expected to be there that are not. And these people, the lady coming to the door, crazy. I mean, the seminarians know the crazy thinking they've got. Example, St. Michael is our Lord. Okay. All right, so they need a lot of help. But I'll tell you one thing. They've got desire. Those people that pack that other place on Wednesday nights, they've got desire. Now, they're being fed all of this insanity. But the essence is they've got desire. And do you think that with the prayers of the church for all of those people's salvation, do you think that they're not going to be offered? They are. It's a fact. God wills the salvation of all men. That's Scripture, St. Paul. So we know as a fact that lady, those people, they will be offered the true faith. Now, whether or not they respond to that, that's in the balance. But they're going to be given that because they have desire. Where's our desire? So as we go forth in this Mass, we want to renew our belief in the Blessed Trinity. We want to... I will say this, though. This is the PS to that story about George Washington. There's another General George. This is George Patton, about 200 years later. Not as dire a circumstance, but similar. He had taken, at the beginning of that war, World War II, he had taken command of an army group in Georgia, start training them. And he showed up there, and he was a big, he used to preach all his teachings. He had one of these sayings, and one of them was, "Summer soldiers will be transferred before the sun goes down." Do you remember that word? Summer soldiers? Fair weather friends, we call them. Do you remember summer soldiers? These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from the service of their country. George Patton knew these words. And one of his sayings was, "The summer soldier will be transferred before the sun goes down." So when he appeared on the scene to take command of this motley crew, I'm saying that because that's what one of these soldiers who was there for this actually said. We were a ragtag bunch. And his description of this day is memorable. But when he came in, this General George Patton, the first thing he did was he pulled out 16 transfer documents, all signed and ready to go. And he said to the 16 officers of this group, "You are all free to get out right now. I'll be back in 15 minutes. And they talked it out. And you know, 6 out of those 16 left. They were summer soldiers. And he took those people and he trained that army. And when the moment of crisis came, which was after D-Day, in the middle of winter, right around Christmas, the enemy had a tremendous counteroffensive in progress. It was had the potential to prolong the war indefinitely and take away all of the gains since D-Day. And no one was in a position in the middle of a winter storm, in the middle of combat already on other fronts, no one was ready to respond to that attack except for General George Patton and his men. They were able to pull out of an offensive and to travel in the middle of a snowstorm and relieve this town of Bastogne, if you know that story, which is all dramatic too. And he saved the day. And this soldier who told about the summer soldiers incident in Georgia, he was not with them. He had moved on to become a pilot in the Army Air Corps. It wasn't the Air Force yet. But he asked the chief of staff there, who he worked under, he said, how did he do that? And he said, this other general, Hap Arnold, said to him, Do you remember what we were doing in the desert? Remember that training we were doing in the desert? Where we would go to bed fully clothed and ready to move at a moment's notice? That's how he went to sleep that night. And remember how he used to train us to always have a backup plan? And he said, right. He said, he had a backup plan. Because he said, what can the enemy do in this situation? He said, this would be my best move. And he had those people in this snowstorm getting up every 15 minutes and starting all the trucks and all of the tanks. So that when he appeared at the meeting and said, I can pull out of a full offensive and turn on the enemy right now, travel hundreds of miles and attack him in full force. And said, George, okay, let's be real here. He said, I'm ready to do it right now. I just have to make one phone call. And he made the phone call, they started those trucks, and they saved that town. Don't be a summer soldier. Don't be a fair weather friend of God. You've been confirmed. Make it a reality. We've got treasures here. God has entrusted us with himself. And are we going to let him down? I don't think so. And I know we're not. But just as Washington had to do, he had to have his people hear that. So we have to hear it. So we have Corpus Christi, and you have an extra week to get ready. It would be wonderful if all of the non-Catholics see carloads coming out from the Wednesday night class on matrimony. May God bless you.